Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I thought about Barry Bonds. I mean, that was some Barry Bonds type stuff there. I mean, that's the ultimate respect. And, you know, Bregman rises to the occasion too. That's why I got Bregman hitting behind Jordan, because all you need in that situation is a base hit. And, right away, I thought about, I've seen that a bunch of times, but not in a long time since Barry Bonds.
That was Dusty yesterday after the game, and he is Barry Bonds. And let's talk about that with Roger Clemens, legend, Houston legend, joining us after every game here in the postseason. 8 o'clock, it's Destination Radio for you here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roger, welcome back to the show. What do you think about what Dusty just said there about Barry Bonds and Jordan?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Dusty's right on target, and I like what he said the second half of that comment also about having Bregman back there, because and you could see it in Bregman's mannerisms after he got the base hit. It's a challenge to him when you see that and you're on deck, and then you know it's left up to you. So he was in a great situation and let the ball get deep and get that base hit. But you could tell kind of when he got on first base, looked in the dugout, he says, yeah, walk him to get to me, I guess. So, Jordan, guys, he may be, you know, he is, you know, right now it looks like, you know, I can only think back to he might be having a playoff run here like Beltran did for us back in 05, 04, 05, when he was hotter than hot. It's kind of the lesser of two evils what you're going to throw him. There's a couple things you got to look at. Valdez Castillo came as advertised, as you guys saw. I mean, a bunch of breaking balls from Valdez, and I think he led the league in that, and, you know, double plays and everything else. Castillo, he was plus fastballs. We talked about a few days ago, and he featured a really good changeup. I guess you can call it a changeup at 91 miles an hour, but that ball that dropped in, there's always a couple crucial spots in playoff baseball that make a big difference. And when Pena's jam shot fell in there because of lack of communication from the center fielder, and I think it was second baseman, you could see a little funky reaction on the mound from Castillo. Not that that mattered pitching to Jordan, but I was surprised. Again, when you are featuring a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball, middle up away at Minute Maid, I mean, it's a sand wedge to the Crawford boxes. And so that's nothing for Jordan if he makes contact. He fouled one off right before that was up, mm-hmm. and then he threw in the same exact pitch, just a little bit more down in the zone, and he friggin' punted it into the Crawford boxes. So it looked like to me Jordan never came off fastball, even though he was getting a bunch of changeup in his early at bats. But he's dangerous right now. I mean, what do they say? He's more, you're playing with matches at a gas station right now. With him.
What do you do, Rog, if you're Scott Service now going forward with him?
Well, again, I'm surprised they don't crowd him a little bit more because he's so big and so strong, has such great plate coverage. Number one, number two is. They were doing pretty good throwing him some changeups down, but they're going to have to be careful now that they're on the ropes. You know, you got McCullers going in a short series. This is a knockout blow now. McCullers go out there and throw the knockout. If it's a 7-game series in this situation, game 3, you're a swing man. they put you in that, they, you know, your manager puts you in that spot so you can handle if you were down 0-2. It'd be no different than what where Seattle's guy is, but they put you in that that swing spot just in case there's some crazy stuff or it's a must win game. So, but McCullers being a knockout spot, and I'm going to say the manager there in Seattle, Service, he showed his hand, that he's going to walk. He may walk him in some similar situations.
I think there are times where you need to walk him. There are times you got to pitch to him. There's times you got to trust best on best, like with Castillo. And you mentioned it, Raj. He kept throwing change up and Yordan kept waiting to see fastball, and he kept giving him a steady dose of changeups. But the one thing that I think the one thing that makes Yordan so great is not only does he have great plate coverage and can hit tall fields, but I think he does a really good job of thinking along with the pitcher-catcher combination in the dugout. Like, he does a nice job of looking for certain pitches and hitting them hard when he gets them.
I think he recognized the fastball because it was such a difference in eye level. It was up. He went after the first high one, and it was high enough where he couldn't get on top of it. And he struck the bottom part of the baseball and fouled that off. And then I still think it's a combination of the two. I think because he was a little upset about that ball dropping in, and not that he wasn't thinking. He was still. I think the pitch was 98 miles an hour. But he yanked it down in the zone a little bit more and got it to his barrel. And like I told y'all earlier, I mean, when I pitched at Minute Maid, I tried to pitch to the middle of the field as best I could. And I got burned a couple times with, leaving a slider into a righty or the same thing, getting the fastball up and somebody just chip shots me. A lefty throws a little chip shot, a little sand wedge into the Crawford boxes. So you got to be aware of that when you're pitching at these. At Fenway Park, I had that 40-foot monster that would knock it down for a long single or double. At Minute Maid, those 3 years pitching here at home, it was a little different. You had to be aware of that that small wall there at Minute Maid. But he's hot right now. Like I said, you're going to have to be really, really careful in what you're doing with this guy. And because he's making his presence felt, and again, they're head shaking moments, just like when we had Beltran and he got hot. He was backspinning everything out of the ballpark.
I want to ask you, Roger, specifically about something on the mound, and I think with good NBA shooters, they can self correct. They understand their mechanics and they understand their the technique. I think the same thing is with golfers. The same thing with quarterbacks, understand where their feet are, where their arm slot is, things like that. And same thing can be said with hitters. Can you talk from a pitcher's perspective about being able to understand your mechanics so well? And when did this happen for you where you felt like you could self-correct on the mound? Because I think that's something that Fromber has learned to do over the last couple of years, and that's how he's made a big change. Can you talk about that element of your game?
Yeah, so specifically, I think it's interesting right now to watch the guys because they have the headset. So the catcher's giving him the pre-call on the pre-pitch, if you will, when he's standing, when he's straddling the mound. So when he actually gets on the rubber, he can already have that pitch loaded perfectly, whether it be a two-seamer or he knows it's loaded in his glove. We used to go, whatever your most difficult pitch to throw, that's what you wanted to load in your hand, if you load it in your hand or your glove. So, and most times that would be, say, my split or most guys' changeups, because you have more fingers on the ball. You have to be careful so you don't fan your gloves, so you don't give away that pitch. So it's a little different now because they can, they send the signal, the pitch to the guy, and then you watch how he comfortably gets on the mound and he can go through a great routine, like you said. A big league pitcher should be able to correct a funkiness, if you will, in his delivery within two pitches. Where the pitching coach doesn't have to come out and say, look, I'm giving you a breather or whatever. You should be able to correct yourself being your own pitching coach within two pitches. I had a deal where my pitching coaches would be in the dugout and they'd whistle, and I had three hot points. It would be pointing at my front glove shoulder. That's my steering wheel or my quiet side. If it was flying, they would point to that. They would point to their chin. If I was, some of these guys are mitt lookers, if you will. They don't look down when they, to set themselves. They stare at the mitt the whole time. So he would point at my chin because you can drift off the mound that way and then stay back. In these games where you're really excited, you want to go a little bit harder. You want to overthrow sometimes. And like you alluded to, like a golf swing, as everybody knows, if you swing the driver harder from the top, you slice it more and it doesn't go as far. And the same thing with pitching. If you get in a hurry, if you get real firm, it's going to come out slower, or you're going to miss, you know, the strikes. You're going to miss where you're trying to throw it. Again, a big league pitcher should be able to get a ball within one or two baseballs where the catcher's asking for it. They're, you know, we're trained that way. That's called practicing perfect. When you're throwing your bullpen, your pregame warm-ups, you practice perfect. You make it crisp, and you stay on target that way. So, that's part of it. Those are the things you kind of watch. That, you know, if I'm watching even the first couple innings of a game when a guy's fresh, I can find out what he's doing pretty quick. And it's just being a student of the game and understanding what you're doing. And the Astros got a lot of guys like that. The bullpen was great. Don't forget about the two great defensive plays that Altuve missed yesterday. Those are game winners for a pitcher in situations like that. But again, there's one or two things that it come down to, and it was a kind of like a mad ball pitch, if you will, or what I want to call it, the Castillo throw to Valdez, because I still think he was a little PO'd about that ball dropping in, and then you had. You know, we got away with, Valdez. He didn't set his feet if he'd take another heartbeat, maybe half a heartbeat, set his feet to make that play at home. But it didn't come back to hurt our guys, which again, I think in playoff baseball, as we've talked about with you guys each morning, is a lot of things are magnified. And I'm going to be surprised as we get deeper into the playoffs, because guys haven't bunted a lot. You know, and depending where the shift is and stuff like that. So that's what I'm looking for some pitchers fielding practice and some guys bunting in very close, tight ball games with high energy and things like that.
Yep. Roger Clemens with us here, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He'll rejoin us on Monday at 8 o'clock. So make sure that you are here, hopefully. We're wrapping up this series and heading to either New York or Cleveland. Raj, what did you think about you? He had to throw Presley. You could see how much time off Presley had. Can you talk about having all that time off and trying to get your command?
A little bit. They had some shots of him in the bullpen, standing up, always getting moving around. And he's such a veteran. And being in the role he's in, he's already probably going – you know, looking at the scoreboard, knowing, probably when he's going to get the call and get in the game, and he knows what 3, 4, 5 hitters he may face. But it was, it's great to get him out there. The last strikeout, the curveball that he threw, it must have looked like it was going to be a heater on the outside corner because the guy totally swung when it came out of his hand. It wasn't even close to being a strike. So that tells me that his deception with his curveball and stuff like that's right where it needs to be. But it's great. You know, the bullpen guys, again, they did a great job, and that's what you need. I mean, it's fun to watch. Lance comes and throws at the house a little bit in the off season and gets ready for spring training. My oldest son, Kobe, catches him. And I'm rooting hard for that kid, and I hope he throws a knockout punch in Seattle.
You got to love his competitive nature, too. I mean, you were famous for your competitive nature. Lance is a guy from early on. I mean, you could see it in 15 when he was a rookie. There's something about his competitive nature that really, that fire is something that I think a lot of Astros fans really have admired about him. And I know the injuries have been tough for him, but, man, he is a big-time competitor.
Yeah, he's a gamer, 100%. He does all the work behind the scenes to get himself ready. I've watched his little pregame routine, even when, like I said, in early January when he's throwing at the house. And he loves playing for this team. He loves everything about it, and he's a competitor. You're going to see a boatload of different angles and different speeds on breaking balls, and then he'll rush his heater in there when he needs to. So, he's a bulldog. He's one of those guys that fit that category, and He's gonna try and grind out some innings for you.
You think he'll throw a bat at the hitter like you did with Piazza?
Well, yeah. Now, if I wanted to throw it at him, Jono, I would have. He was 15 feet away from me.
In the general direction, I'm saying. You thought it was the ball, right? You thought it was the ball when you threw it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought it was the ball. When I said I thought it was the ball, when you snap somebody's bat in four pieces and the head comes at you, and if you notice, if you want to be a funny guy this morning, and if you notice, I had impeccable fielding position the way I broke down and
fielded
that thing.
It was. Yeah, no. Great. Yeah. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying. Competitor.
He always wants to be a funny guy.
I know. You're just stating the fact.
That's all. I'm just stating facts. I hope Lance throws a bat at somebody. I hope he does.
No, he doesn't need to. That was my sidearm.
That was.
Every once in a while.
You were coming from Laredo on that one. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. That's Roger Clemens, and he joins us after Astros playoff games. He'll rejoin us on Monday right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Roger, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
All right, babe. Let's go.
All right. Thanks, Roger.
There it is. Yeah, talk a little bit about Daspit and what he's doing for us here, Lance.
Yeah, John Daspit is one of the – his company is one of the biggest companies when it comes to personal injury lawyer, refinery blast, things of that nature. If you've been injured, he does an amazing job. He formerly was one of the biggest billers at Fulbright Jaworski, was always busy helping people there, and he flipped because he wanted to start helping people on a larger scale, and that's what he's doing. And has been a huge part, an integral part, is now involved in the NIL circle with University of Texas and University of Houston, wants to help out the University of Houston, finishes law degree at University of Houston after doing his getting his other degrees at Texas. This guy is one of the very, very best, and if you want information on how he can help you or someone you know, make sure you go to Daspit Law. That's Daspit Law.com.
Hey, I'm going to talk about the Chastangs right now. There's another family here in the city of Houston, and they are awesome, awesome, awesome. If you're looking for that car, that Ford car or truck, and listen, they got great, unbelievable deals going on right now on pre-owned vehicles. You get unbelievable financing. If you get a Ford-certified pre-owned vehicle at Chastang Ford, you are getting great, great financing. So look into that as well if you don't want to wait down the car. Now, if you want to order a vehicle from Chastang Ford, my friends, it is the best way. It's the only place to go get your, because they're guaranteed that you will not pay MSRP. You will not have any add-ons. They are not going to sell you a window tint or bed liner or leather seats if you don't want it, or a sunroof, whatever. Now you get to order your vehicle exactly as you want it, not packages how you want it. And they're not going to mark up either. The other dealerships are throwing $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on these cars, and Chastang Ford ain't doing it. They're just not. This is the place to go. The integrity, the service, the just the wonderful people that you'll be dealing with. You're going to get that Ford car or truck under MSRP every single time when you order it at Chastang Ford. You can do it all online, which you can't at other dealerships because they want you in there to try to upsell you. That ain't happening at Chastang Ford. Or you can go there on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
My boy Johnny G went to the baseball game yesterday. Simple Seats has been critical in both of us getting to the games. As with many of you, you know, Simple Seats, the guy who started it, worked for the Astros, and he understands from a business standpoint the ticket sales and what it is that people really hate, and that's these fees. You go in, it turns into a bait and switch with all these ticket companies who they tell you it's one price, and then you get to check out, and you're like, wait a minute, how is this the price? And then you look at the fees, and that's where they get you, each ticket. It's usually about a 25% add-on, anywhere from 20 to 30% add-on, depending on the company, of what it is that you were supposed to be paying. Guess what? A Simple Seats, they never have a fee. Never a fee. So you're always going to be anywhere from about 22 to 30% less with Simple Seats every single time out. Nobody can beat their prices. Nobody. Find me somebody who beats their prices. Go all the way to the checkout and show me the checkout number where you can be beaten. Astros playoff tickets, you know where you want to go? SimpleSeats.com. You can get to those games through Simple Seats, and you can do it for less than the other guys. You're obviously, the tickets are going to be elevated during big postseason play, but you don't want to have to pay those additional fees like the other companies charge. SimpleSeats.com. That's SimpleSeats.com. Let's go.
Vikings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Josh, do you recognize the play? Turn the music up a little bit, RJ. Okay, so I heard this. I'm like, man, it's hard in the paint. Waka Flocka Flame. And I'm like, we've used this before. We've had this music. Do you remember what it's from?
No.
Okay, go ahead, RJ. Hit him with it.
And that's what's going on at Augusta.
That's perfect, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
That's what's going on at Augusta.
I can't tell you. I've probably in the, like 13 times, 14 times, that I watched Chris Vernon's That's What's Going On at Augusta. His scoreboard updates.
Yeah.
And when you see the videos that they have from their Twitch.
So funny.
It is phenomenal. You don't have to like golf. You can hate golf.
No.
And
it's
you would
for
love,
people who hate golf.
Because Chris Vernon's from Memphis. He's into the Memphis rap sound. I know Waka Flocka Flame is not, but it's got that same kind of vibe. And it is, he's got people dressed in costumes in there. He's got a green jacket on with his putter, and he's doing like, it's just the best. If you haven't seen it, just Google Chris Vernon Masters. That's all you have to do, and go watch that video.
Okay, I gotta do this story. Michael Schwab, did you see this?
No,
he just tweeted this out. The Dodgers traded Yordan Alvarez before he ever played a game in their system, sending him to the Astros for reliever Josh Fields on August 1st, 2016.
Right.
Yet, as unusual as it was for a team to move a player just 6 weeks after signing him, the story of how the Dodgers discovered Alvarez might even be more bizarre. Marlins special assignment scout Bill Massey, then with the Mariners, was doing minor league spring training coverage in Dunedin, Florida, when he went to see a Cuban amateur work out on a backfield. As Massey recalls, only one other scout attended the workout, Vance Lovelace with the Dodgers. So the player Massey and Lovelace were supposed to see was short and muscular and had something of an entourage. Another taller, leaner player walked in unannounced carrying a backpack. The role of that player was to give the more well-known prospect breathers by alternating with him in batting practice. That player turned out to be Yordan Alvarez.
I mean, he would have eventually been discovered.
Well, listen to this. Here's what Massey wrote in a text. He said, "We call these guys fluffers. Well, I'm pretty sure the best fluffer who has ever fluffed was Yordan Alvarez."
That's so disrespectful to write.
He didn't even run the 60 or take ground balls. He was hitting them over the light towers. And me and Lovelace were looking at each other thinking, yeah, we're watching the wrong guy. So the Dodgers signed Alvarez for $2 million, paid an additional $2 million penalty for exceeding their international bonus pool. Fields, the reliever they acquired from the Astros, spent parts of three seasons with L.A., holding opponents to a 628 OPS in 117 in the third innings and appearing in the 2016 and 17 postseasons. Massey does not even remember the name of the original player he and Lovelace were supposed to see, but he sure remembers the skinny Alvarez, who he estimates has gained 60 pounds since that day. There are a ton of stories like this. Baseball's full of them. You could probably write an entire book on how some players were discovered.
Dude, how are you moving?
Why
a guy
would
with
you
that
move
potential?
Him when and you gave him $2 million and yet you moved him?
And the ironic thing is, it's the same concept that brought Jeff Bagwell here. It's the same concept where, well, the Red Sox didn't quite know. They knew Jeff Bagwell was good, but they didn't quite know how good. And they really needed pitching help, and they really loved what Larry Anderson could do for them right now.
Right.
And so they dealt the right now, and they gave up the future. And we're not even talking closer or starter. We're talking about a setup man to middle. At that time, Larry Anderson was more of a setup man. The same situation. Here's Josh Fields, who had a big 12-6 curveball. But, I mean, okay, well, we really need a pitcher. Well, you basically paid an absolute potential premium on a young, underdeveloped player with all kinds of upside and potential. And it sounds like they knew that based on this article. for a guy who's not even a closer. Like, that's insane.
Well, the only people to do this, the Red Sox did it because they're in win now. They're in high-pressure situations with high payrolls, big payrolls.
All in. We got to go
Dodgers
all in.
Do this. The Yankees do this.
The idea of all in is usually a farce. It will usually, just like with Laremy Tunsil, it is so dangerous to just make the phrase, just to say all in, quote unquote all in. It's so stupid. Why would you just say all in and then give up young talent? I tell you what, Jeff Leno and James Click, I give them credit. The Astros have not been dealing away. You know who went all in? The Padres gave up four of their top five minor league prospects for Josh Bell, who's been an atrocity, but really for Juan Soto. Soto better ball out. He has not so far. But he better ball out because they gave away their entire minor league system.
Well, the Astros, I thought the most they ever was Greinke. They gave up four guys that were big guys in their system, and that depleted everything. That really drove them to the bottom of the minor league rankings. And yet, here are guys every year that come up and help the Astros out. So I don't know about that whole, you know, they're 30th in the league and their minor league team is, because they continue to bring up guys that contribute at the big league level. But yeah, the key to the whole thing is Luno not giving up Tucker. I mean, as much as there was a cry to give up him and what's the pitcher's name that we never, ever, ever see? You know, to help and to win the World Series, Luno held to his guns and said, "No, I'm not giving up Tucker." Mm-hmm. Okay, now he could have given up. What's the kid's name? The right-hander with that's in the minor leagues forever.
Forrest Whitley.
Yeah, Forrest Whitley.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't give up Forrest Whitley. He could have done that. That would have been fine. Mm-hmm. But Tucker, he held his ground, stuck to his guns, and said, "No, I ain't doing that." And you know what? It paid off yesterday in a huge, huge win. And, well, it's paid off immensely, so I'm not giving up Tucker. And as a matter of fact, the future is resting on Kyle Tucker getting a deal done and being here long term. That would ensure, I think, him and Yordan and the three or four young pitchers mm-hmm. that the Astros are going to start going through arbitration with, that will ensure them being good for years and years to come, because Jeff Luno stuck to his guns. And now, look, you think the Dodgers regret not having Yordan? You think that they might regret that just a little bit?
I mean, that's going to
– Can you imagine Yordan in that lineup too?
So Houston sports, you have to go all the way back to the 80s. Jeffrey Leonard was that guy for Houston. He went to the Giants and became
– Joe Morgan.
Became that guy. Joe Morgan did. So you got to go way back. The Rockets, I can't recall that happening with the Rockets. Houston football. There were some guys who were in quote-unquote Plan B free agency when they used to have that in football. I'm trying to remember an Oiler or a Texan. Well, Tremont Williams actually was a good player.
They cut him, though, right?
They cut him. Yeah. I mean, they didn't know what they had the same concept.
But
they
looked great that preseason, and yet they just
did. Nah. They still he didn't have the speed.
Undrafted free agent, right.
He didn't have the speed and length, and he had great ball skills. That one hurts. But Yordan, we're talking about an elite talent, a guy who should be an MVP at some point during his career.
Oh, man. A statue. Jerome Solomon's already got a statue. And you know what? I'm with him.
That's fine.
That's fine. 713-780-3776. We get you back to your calls on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about the Morley Law Firm and my people over there at the Morley Law Firm, who are excellent at what they do, and they're helping you. They are helping you get through whatever issue that you are having. And there are issues out there. I don't know what's happened to you. Did you get in an accident? Did you get hit by an 18-wheeler? Is there asbestos? Do you feel like you have been wronged in any way, shape, or form by someone? Is there malpractice? Is there an insurance company that you're having a problem with? It doesn't matter what the issue is. Are you having a problem with your divorce? You need a lawyer on a divorce. You got to have one. So make sure that even if you don't want to settle everything, just get a lawyer, because you just got to have it. And get the representation. And the easier it is, you know, the less it costs you. Especially in divorces as well. They can work with you and get this job done. You don't want to have a lawyer, I mean, because, you know, that means that something bad has happened to you in some way, shape, or form. And you know what? But you got to have it. You got to have the representation. If you have any issues with the police, if you have any issues with the DA, whatever it is, you, my friends, need the experience of the Morley Law Firm. They are here for you. Se habla Espanol. If you've got an immigration case or whatever it is, se habla Espanol, they can help you with that as well. So make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, I'm live at Carlton Woods Country Club. You're home for the Chevron Championship, by the way, in April. The old Dinosaur, the major, where the ladies will be competing. So that's going to happen right here at Carlton Woods and at the Nicholas Course. So if you are a golf fan, this is a place to be in April. And then right after that, the Insperity is the following week. So big week up here in the Woodlands, big 2 weeks of golf in April. That'll be a fun time. I forgot Hunter Brown when I mentioned in the future. Hunter Brown. You think Hunter Brown? Thank you, Justin. You think he's going to be a key to this thing going forward for years to come?
I would say so.
Yeah, I would say so too. Abreu, I mean, there's awesome, awesome, awesome. We forgot. Yeah, J.D. Martinez was somebody the Astros let go.
Yeah, that's the guy.
That's a guy.
There's your answer. Yep. J.D. Martinez is way up there.
Yeah.
He's way up there. That guy is, yeah.
He's
Josh
been an all-star.
Josh Hader, to a lesser degree. But J.D. Martinez is the guy that, man, that's the one that got away. Because you didn't recognize, and he made changes to his swing. He's famously said, I was not the same player.
Well,
the
funny
Astros.
Thing was, though, he had made changes that offseason, came to spring training and was ripping the cover off of it, and Luno still said, nah, that's okay.
Luno and
AJ both said, nah, that's okay. You go, we'll let him go. And Luno talked about it in the book, Astro Ball. He said, man, that was a big mistake. Dude had changed his stuff and he was crushing it, and we still said no. So yeah, that was a mistake. We got Paul on the line. Let's get Paul in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, John and Lance.
Yeah.
First time calling. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. Great show, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Y'all really funny. What I wanted to talk about is the trade that we didn't make, you know, for the Rockets that you talked about. Remember Grant Hill? He was supposed to come to, you know, the Rockets.
Sean Elliott. Sean Elliott for Robert Horry and Matt Bullard, but Sean Elliott had the kidney issue.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
yes, that's the trade I'm talking about, and also the trade that we didn't trade away Hakeem. So that's another one, and then the other thing I want to talk about is you talk about defense. Game one, ninth inning, when Julio Rodriguez almost hit it out, and Kyle Tucker caught that ball, and we were down by two, and that was a big play too. So,
yeah, I mean, there's so many big plays in both of these games as you can point to, and that's what I love about playoff baseball, John, is when you go back and look and win or lose, you forget. Oh, what about in the fourth inning when this happened? What about in the sixth inning when this happened? You can always go back to anywhere between five and seven plays. Every game that we look at, I mean, Altuve's leaping throw is a monster. Yuli's ability to dig those out, the two that he dug out. The play that the angry throw that Roger talked about where he just kind of launched, that could have been a disastrous play that could have ended, frankly, in no runs, and it turned into two runs for, you know, it worked the opposite way against Fromber. I mean, there, Jeremy Pena, the bloop hit that extended the inning. Jeremy Pena's AB that extended the inning. By the way, Hensley pinch hitting for McCormick, how about that? That tells you what Dusty thinks, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, look who he had on the bench, and he's picking Hensley. And, you know, and I said, listen, I think he's got a lot of confidence in Hensley. I don't think it's out of the question that that dude could be. Now, you have to start one of the three, and I don't think Dubon will ever start one of the two, Myers or Chaz, in center. You know, it would be nice if Diaz could play with Tucker and Yordan in the outfield. That would be nice. I think Yordan is going to probably DH now because of the big outfield in Seattle. You'll probably have Diaz in left field. Maybe Mancini. I doubt it, though. He doesn't like Mancini in a big outfield. So, no, I'm taking that back. It'll be Diaz in left. It sure would be nice if you could get Hensley in there somewhere. He's got a lot of confidence in Hensley bringing him in that situation.
Well, you know, Hensley doesn't look overmatched necessarily. He's still got an eye at the plate. He's not a wild swinger. I don't know that he's going to hit Castillo, but I knew Jake wasn't going to.
No.
So
Jake looked overmatched.
Okay with it. Yeah, Jake looked overmatched.
Yeah. Big moments. What about bringing in Montero? He walks France, and then Suarez hits that bullet to left that Yordan catches. I mean, if that's, 10 feet left or, if it's near the line, that's ball game. They lose this ball game with two on and two out in the seventh. There's so many. The Altuve plays, Pena's walk in the eighth inning, which led to the Bregman base hit. Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, play after play after play that's just so huge. And they just made all the right – the last two games, Lance, everything has gone their way. Everything really has gone their way.
Don't say that out loud.
Well, the Mariners should have won game one. I don't think there's any question about it. They led that entire game. They outplayed them, and then but the difference in the series, obvious, is we have Yordan and they don't. That's the difference in the series. That's it. We have Yordan, you don't. You're down 2-0.
You know what?
That's it.
That really is the only difference.
It is.
Your dong is just donging people around the park.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen the jersey that the one guy had, the white guy with the orange jersey that's a Yordan jersey, and he had three letters on the back. Yes, I saw that yesterday. What was one of the most classic jerseys I've ever, very subtle, but not subtle at the same time. Go look at Glory Boys. Just go look. I sent it yesterday in Glory Boys. Go look at that thread.
I've been busy. I don't see
Glory Boys. Is me, Del, Raheel, and John, and it's Glory Boys still. I hate it, but it is what it is now. I'm not changing it. So just go look at that.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
You know what that stands for, right?
Yes, I know what that stands for.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Hey, before we get to a break, let's get Chad in here. What's up, Chad?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How we doing?
Long-time listener in, love the show. Hey, I wanted to talk about what you guys were just touched on a little bit was the center field position. It's been kind of frustrating for me as a fan. I mean, I've been a long-time fan of the Astros. I do believe Dusty's been doing a good job through the playoffs, but I think he's been struggling with center field. I feel that Chaz has been the better player. I mean, the numbers prove it. I know he's got a higher batting average. He's not an elite center fielder, but what I'm having a problem with is putting in Myers in there with McCormick. He's got more power. He's got a lot stronger arm. I think he's just as good and as fast as those guys are defensively. But with McCormick and Luis Castillo pitching, McCormick's got opposite field power where you know most of the guys are going to be behind on him. And Myers has been struggling, and it showed yesterday watching 2/3 called strikes. I just don't see why he's putting Myers in that situation against Castillo, who's got elite speed. He knows Myers has been struggling. It's just been frustrating. It seems like every time Chaz gets in a groove that he puts him on the bench for the next 3 to 5 days, and he's starting all back over again. I know he had a line drive in game one that started the rally. In the third or fourth inning, I believe he hit a line drive to right center field. I just want to get you guys' thoughts on the alignment out in the defense in the outfield. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I thought it was a little surprising that Jake got the start yesterday. But, hey listen, if you're Jake Myers and you're up, oh, good, you give me Castillo. That's great. Thanks. and he looks at strike three twice, and it's just like he was just overmatched. But to his – listen, he has been hitting lately at the end of the season. He was hitting down at Sugarland. They brought him up. He was hitting at the major league level. So you're probably going to see him again. Dusty said he can't play Dubon because he just doesn't have enough offense. Chaz is probably going forward. If Chaz can come up with a couple of hits this weekend, tomorrow or Sunday, if they play Sunday, then, you know, you're probably going to see Chaz on a more regular basis. But we shall see. Jake has been hitting, so I think he gave him a little bit of love. Unfortunately, he gave him a love against Luis Castillo, which is not much love at all, if you want to know the truth. Hey, I got to talk. We got a special, some special friends that, old friends of the show, Lance on the other side. They're out here at Carlton Woods, so we will talk to them on the other side, get their thoughts on this. Right now, though, I'm talking about Dr. Manavese. Dr. Manavese is awesome. She's smart, Yale smart. That's how smart she is, okay? And she's got a process that is the way to go. When you talk about prostate surgery, she cringes because the prostate surgery is putting a rod up a certain area and then opening up the blade and and cutting your prostate. That's surgery. Here's Dr. Manavese's. This is how she does it. So you get an ultrasound, you get an MRI, and then she gives you an IV, and you're done. So which one do you want to do? You tell me. Surgery where they put that thing up, open up a blade, and cut you up inside of you, or Dr. Manavese's way. I'm telling you right here, right now, there's one way to go, and that's with Dr. Manavese. Go to 975prostate.com. So simple. It's a long lunch, and your prostate is healed. If you have an enlarged prostate, if you're going to the bathroom a lot in the middle of the night, if you can't hold, if you can't start, you can't stop, all of those things, you have a prostate issue. Go see Dr. Manavese. That's 975prostate.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Can you name, Lance, can you name a couple of guys that might be up here from Carlton Woods, ready for the member guest, that were part of the White Boy Super Squad?
Well, I mean, John Barry would maybe
John
be
Barry,
one.
Ding, ding, ding,
I
ding,
mean,
ding.
John Barry, and there's two of them?
Well, there's two of them.
So if it would be John, well, locally, it'd be Bobby Surah, maybe.
Bobby Surah. Well done, Lance. Well done. They're sitting right here, right now, getting ready to go play a little bit. Bobby, you an Astro fan?
I'm an Astro fan. I love the home teams, obviously. Had a great year, doing well. Some unbelievable games here in the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to their run.
Yeah. Well, it's just so much fun. You guys were here yesterday because we had the practice round yesterday and all kinds of events out here at Carlton Woods. You're here all the time. I see you out here. I can't play in your game. I don't want any part of that. Coach talked. Van Gundy was out here, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jeff comes out sometimes, hang out with us. We're trying to link up with him for lunch this weekend, actually. Lance, how does this guy get any work done? He's not a member here, but he's here every single day I show up.
Every day.
Does he ever work or what?
Never works. Worked a day in his life.
I work my ass off till 10 o'clock every morning, okay? I work my ass off, and then I'm right here. JB is here as well. Lance, I still owe him from that. Remember we had the NCAA tournament pool?
I remember.
And he ditched us, though. He left town, and you never got your $300.
I got ditched. No, I got cut. Van Gundy said, you're out of here. You blew out your calf. We're done with you. So I had to go home.
See you, JB. You're in Atlanta still, aren't you?
I'm in Atlanta, yeah. And you mentioned the Astros. I mean, what happened the other night was unbelievable. I can't believe they pitched to my man Alvarez. I mean, is that ball still in the air? Yeah. Jeez, that was unreal.
Yeah. And so what are you going to do this season? You're working for – who are you working for?
I'm kind of a free agent. I might do a little NBA TV, pop in here and there when they need somebody, and That's it. I'd rather play golf.
And so, but you go back and forth from Atlanta to L.A.? It seems like a long flight.
Atlanta, L.A., yes, it is a long flight, but my girlfriend is in L.A., so I have to be out there quite a bit.
Well, you better be out there, because I imagine she's probably smoking hot, and so you better get there, all right? Not leave her alone out there, okay?
She is.
I assume that, but what a great assumption that was on my part. What about, hey, what do you know about this, you guys, Bobby? What do you know about this? Tell me about this Rockets team this year.
Well, they're going to be exciting for sure. Jalen Green and Jabari Smith, I mean, those guys are super talented, young, and, you know, they need a few years to grow, but the future is definitely bright.
You know who looks really good is Tyree. Have you seen Tyree Eason?
I have not seen him yet. I haven't caught any preseason games, but I'm looking forward to it. They're young and exciting.
Yeah. No. But, okay, so all the losses, 20. JB, they won 20 games. And the West, is it getting harder? I mean, New Orleans is going to be so much better now with Williamson coming back and everything else. What can we expect out of this Rockets team?
Well, it doesn't really matter. You're just developing all these young guys, and you're trying to create a culture and get themselves back to where they were, obviously, right? With James Harden, they had a couple of shots. They probably should have had a title, to be quite honest, right? They had the Warriors on the ropes a couple of times. But, look, you know, it's a tough business, and, you know, it's going to be an exciting young team with a lot of great players, and we'll, you know, just – get better and maybe take some lumps here and there.
By far the youngest team. I mean, it's unbelievable. Everybody's a first rounder over the last 2 years.
I don't think I can name seven guys on the team, to be quite honest. Maybe I should do that if I'm going to work for NBA TV.
Hey, John, ask
meet
them,
the team.
Ask them how happy they are. I don't know if they can hear me, but ask
they
them.
They can't hear you, but yeah.
Ask them how happy they are that social media wasn't around when they were playing.
Yeah. How about, are you happy that social media wasn't around when you were playing, Bobby?
We've had those discussions, and our last years here with the Rockets were pretty wild off the court, and we're glad nobody saw it.
The camera phones with you guys? How would that have been?
What
with
about
this?
The three-finger move, John?
How about this?
JB and Wesley and myself, we used to come in after every game hungover. He'd walk around, look at us three, and go, "You guys look terrible. You better be ready for tomorrow night." And we'd go, "Okay, sir."
Coach, hi, Coach. What about it? Camera phones when you were out there?
God, thank God. No, I always joke that Bobby and I were all-stars, and they say, "You were?" Off the court. Off the court, all-stars. That's all that matters.
Those were some good times. Can you name the white boy super squad?
Well, we had ourselves.
Paget.
Ryan Bowen.
There it is.
Paget.
Boom. It's over. It's four.
That's four.
Yeah.
How many was there?
That's it.
That's it. No, that's it. No. Yeah, it was. That's a. You can't have more than four white guys on an NBA team. You know that the rules.
You know you hit the limit.
Is there any team with four white guys on it?
That's not even international players.
No. Spain doesn't even have that. Okay, Australia, they don't have that. Guys, we appreciate it, man. Have fun today and tomorrow. This is a great event out here at Carlton Woods. You're home for the Chevron Championship. So we really appreciate you, guys. We good seeing you, and we will talk again. JB. As always, brother. Well, maybe we'll see you in Atlanta when the Astros are kicking the Braves' ass.
Tell Lance hello.
He says hello, Lance.
I just dabbed.
JB is in Atlanta, and maybe we'll go see him. We'll have him on when the Astros are kicking some Braves' ass in November. Thanks, guys.
God, I
appreciate
hope the Braves are eliminated.
I do, too. I don't want to see the Braves. I don't want any part of them. Right now, though.
Look, another scrappy at-bat for a Brave.
Time to talk about a little liquid death.
Oh, man, that is the key. Had some yesterday. You can find liquid death. I've had some people say, "Lance, where do I find it? I want to try the liquid death." Well, liquid death is available wherever wherever thirst is being brutally murdered. They're usually involved in it. But you can find, if you want to get a case, you can find them most easily at 7-Eleven, at Kroger, at Target. Those are three examples. But there are in so many more places. The best way to find where you can get your liquid death is by going to liquiddeath.com/bench, and then you can type in your zip code, and they will tell you the store locator so you can find out exactly where you can get off to the right start to brutally murder your thirst. And that's what they're doing, whether it's mountain water, whether it's sparkling water, whether it's water with just a hint of some agave, pure agave in it, so it has a little bit of a flavor as well. It is frankly taking over the country right now. It's in a big tall boy can with the heavy metal font that says Liquid Death and a skull on it, and yet it's water. So while you're hydrating, you got a little edge. How about putting that in your kids' backpacks, not backpacks, but lunch kits, and sending them off to school with the tall boy? You know they're going to love it. My kids love to act like they're doing something, you know, they're doing something a little edgy by drinking their Liquid Death, but I don't care. They're getting their water, and if that's what they want to do, they can do that. It tastes great. It's ice cold in the can, which I love, and way better than plastic bottles. I mean, they don't keep it as cold, and plastic bottles are not sustainable or renewable like you think they are. Do some research on that one. Aluminum, still the undisputed champ. Liquid Death. Make sure that you're brutally murdering your thirst with my friends over at Liquid Death and some really cool merchandise, too, online at liquiddeath.com/bench.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.